Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Now, that song, Friday is My Day to Play. God, it used to be that way, didn't it? Not anymore. Friday is just one more day to be concerned. I wish there was a way to, if you found out how to do this, let me know. Send me an email. How to turn it all off on Friday night and, you know, have a couple of days where you just kind of float. And don't say smoke more reefer, you know, that's not... But if there was some way to suspend all thought processes, I know, meditation. Okay, I've already answered myself twice. Never mind. It just seems like it was so much easier back in the day, 7 years ago. Thank goodness it is Friday, though, Truth Seekers. Joining us in a few minutes, we're going to talk via telephone, of course, with Tina Richards. She is the mother of the injured Marine Chloe Richards, who is scheduled for his third tour in Iraq. She's also an anti-war activist who has vowed to sit peacefully near Nancy Pelosi's office until the speaker will give her 5 minutes of her time or until she's arrested, whichever comes first. Now, you'll remember, Tina is the mom who was shouted at in the hallway by Democratic Representative David Obey earlier this month, who called her an idiot liberal when she ran into him outside his office. If she's not in jail, we're going to talk to her in about 22 minutes, because they are talking about putting her in jail. She, her son is facing his third deployment to Iraq. And what Tina has been working on is her efforts have been to pressure Democrats to end the war. I mean, what the hell? That's why they were elected, right? And in response to all these hearings on the details of the supplemental that was approved by both the Senate and the House now, this extra $128 billion, which also contains money for the VA, it also contains money for Walter Reed Hospital, so there is some good in that. And again, maybe Tina Richards and I and a lot of people are just too politically naive to understand what the Democrats are trying to do here. But in the hearings about the details of that supplemental, regarding those hearings, Tina Richards said, quote, "The supplemental is not good for our troops, for our country, or for Iraq. U.S. troops need to come home now. Continuing to fund the war will not protect our sons and daughters. It will put them at risk. Iraqi parliamentarians say they are able to take care of their own country and create their own destiny. The U.S. has an obligation to provide the funds to allow them to rebuild their country since we destroyed it. The Democrats have the power to end the war. It's their war now. 198 service members have been killed since the Democrats had the power to end the war." And, of course, that number has gone up. That number was true a week or so ago. And Tina Richards is also pressuring Congress to treat Iraq war veterans better. From my understanding of the supplemental bill, she did get some of this done. The case of her son, for example, Corporal Chloe Richards, highlights some of the problems in the VA. It's been 2 years now that Ms. Richards has been fighting with the VA to get treatment for her son, who's suffering from a traumatic brain injury that they can't get a specific diagnosis. He also has post-traumatic stress disorder. He's got physical injuries to his knees and back, and the sons of bitches are going to send him back a third time. Send somebody like this into combat A third time. Oh, see, I can feel my blood pressure go up. I can feel the rage. I think about Cindy Sheehan. I think about Tina Richards. I think about the family of Pat Tillman. And it's very difficult to just sit here and say, okay, look, you're 8 minutes in the program. Calm the hell down, all right? Okay. The VA has attempted to avoid treating her son, saying when they first interviewed him about his injuries, they said he had childhood issues rather than Iraq war-related health problems. Okay, deep breath. And according to, I forget where I got this, so I'm not going to be able to attribute it, and I apologize for that. According to what I'm reading here, the VA has attempted to avoid treating her son, and she has received numerous letters from the VA telling her not to contact them anymore because they were overwhelmed with incoming claims and could not assist her husband or her son. So, these evil bastards. So they can't assist this young man, but they are going to send him back into combat with a brain injury, post-traumatic stress disorder for his third tour. So her son is facing this third deployment with no records from the VA describing his illnesses that would make him inappropriate to go back into a combat zone for a third time. Tina Richards says, quote, "We need to bring our sons and daughters home safely and take care of them when they get here. The Democrats were voted into office to end the war. It's time they fulfill that mandate." Now, you know, I think about this evil son of a bitch, George Bush, and his ignoring Cindy Sheehan now for, what, 2 years? And now this one, the lies, and the story broke tonight. Always breaks on Friday night. Bush knew 3 days after Pat Tillman was murdered in Afghanistan, that he was murdered in Afghanistan, that it was not a big-ass war hero story. Bush knew about it, so Bush has gone along with the lie for, what, 3 years now, 2.5 years now. See, this is how they treat, it's the Kissinger syndrome. Soldiers are nothing but dead wood, meat, hunks of human flesh to throw into combat. They mean nothing. So Bush's little photo op today over at Walter Reed was, it underlines the disgusting aspect of his showing up there 6 goddamn weeks after the Washington Post revealed what was going on. This little chicken hawk freak shows up over there, expressing his Bush-style compassion. And we've got him apologizing. We have it. We'll have the sound for you tonight. And he can't even say the word "apologize" clearly and distinctly. You'll hear it. As we've said over and over, once his tin soldiers are broken, he has no use for them anymore. Nothing. They might as well be thrown into the melting pot and turned into cake pans or something. This is so criminal. This is so awful. What this administration has done to our soldiers. It is just god-awful. It is horrifying. And it just keeps going on. And what the hell do we care, right? I don't have anybody in the Iraq War or Afghanistan. What do I care? What is 295 million Americans? What the hell do they care? But this little group of families that have provided the guts and the sinew and the muscle and the blood all blown all over Iraq and all over hospitals in Germany and now all over Walter Reed. Families are going to have to be dealing with this for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They're the ones that have to deal with it. You and me? Hell no. What do we have to do? All I have to do is sit here and worry about how it used to be easy for me on a Friday night. Now I have to work. This is so shameful. It is just so unbelievably shameful. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi, you know, what's up with this? That she won't meet with Tina Richards? Where is she? In the Middle East? She's meeting with the Israeli government. She's going to meet with the Syrian government. She can't meet with the mother of a woman I'm sorry, the mother of a man who is going to be sent back into this goddamn meat grinder that Nancy Pelosi was sent to Washington to end. And she can't even give this woman 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Yeah, vote Democratic. Yeah, do that. Vote Democratic. That'll help us end the war, right? That'll help bring our troops home, right? All right, take a deep breath. Now, later this evening, at the top of the third hour of the program, beginning of the third hour, we'll announce our Dana Perino nickname winner, and that person is going to receive a DVD of Shut Up and Sing, the documentary of the Dixie Chicks, after Natalie Maines' now infamous statement about Bush in 2003. And we've reduced it down to 7 finalists, I think. Is it 7, Kathy? A little bit later in this hour. We'll try to do it in this hour. We will mention the 7 semifinalists, or whatever you call them. And then next hour, during the breaks and all that, Kathy and I will weed it down to 3 so that we... and some of these are really, really good. But by 11:06 tonight Eastern Time, we'll have the winner. All right? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Novem Radio Network.
And a hard, hard place. Mothers in arms, what would you do?
Ready for Radical Talk Radio? Make mine Mike Malloy on Nova M.
About 23 past the hour. I tell you what, let's we're expecting to talk with Tina Richards right after the next break. So let's get these 7. What do we have? 7 semifinalists. And again, these were all we got so many. If some of them were really good, they were just a little bit too lengthy. Some of them were like mini essays, and Kathy and I were reading these last night. We were just falling all over the floor. I mean, some some obviously were not broadcast quality. You people are vile. But these are the ones, the 7 finalists that we feel have a chance before the evening is over. We're going to pick one of these by 11:06 tonight Eastern Time for the free DVD. Thanks to Daryl in Birmingham, Alabama, who provided these for us. Okay, let's hear the 7.
Well, before we do the 7, I have to just say this. First off, I have to thank Tom, and I have to thank Ken for giving us just an incredible, prolific list from which to choose. And Tom, I have to say, Dana Oceana was really close. And I also particularly was fond of Dana the Rovulator, or Rovulator 3000. I guess that's a robot. That was great. And Ken, I have to also appreciate just the fact that you threw in Dana the Seamless Void. I just thought that that was sort of inspired. But okay, but those weren't quite in the top. But they each of those people gave me these long lists, so I have to at least
the seamless void was so good. It's so appropriate to this program, but we had to eliminate it because you know, somebody just tuning into the program might go, the seamless void, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, it wasn't quite specific enough, but I like right. The darkness of it. And I also appreciated, like I said, both of those writers for giving me such an incredibly long list from which to choose. Okay, so the finalists in no particular order. From Katie, the Ditzy Chick, in keeping with our Dixie Chick contest, Dana the Ditzy Chick. Okay. Are you paying attention? I think you're falling asleep. Okay. I also have, in light of Dick Cheney, Dana, Deep Dana Thrombosis. Thank you, Bruce. I have Buffy, the press secretary, from Marge. Not that Marge. Different Marge. Spinderella, from Bobby and David. Spinderella. I like this one. Legally Bland. Legally Bland, from Graz. Dana Baina Bobana. Dana Baina Boat. I can't even say it. Dana Baina Bobana. Banana Baina Bobana, from Lou. And Dana Too Much Cappuccina Purina, from Scott. So,
all right. Those
in
are,
no particular order.
Those are the seven? Okay.
Are the top seven. Your American Idols, 2000. No.
So we will have, we have promised ourselves and our vast and erudite audience that we will have a winner tonight within the next couple of hours. But those are the seven. What we're going to do is during the breaks, we'll go through these, because some of these I really like. What was it? Seamless Void? The Seamless Void.
Well, technically that one's out of the competition because, as you pointed out, while it's brilliant and it was in a long list of other suggestions, it really isn't specific enough. It's so general to describe anyone in this vacuous administration.
That can describe various parts of my life right now. It is a good title for a rock group. It's
You're the decider.
Describes this administration. All right, we'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
For Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
Sitting in a White House garden, talking to the Lord. But my thoughts would be busy, busy hatching if I only had a brain. I am the egghead.
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Let me tell you about hard work. Rebuilding your house out of the bombs.
It's about 26 before the hour. Once again, Chloe Richards is a Marine who is facing his third deployment to Iraq. According to his mother, Tina Richards, he is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and an undiagnosed traumatic brain injury, as well as physical injuries to his knee and his back. The Veterans Administration has jerked this family around. To the extent that that and other reasons to defend her son has caused Tina Richards to become very active in trying to do what the Democrats said they would do when we put them back in office, and that is end the war. Joining us now from Washington is Tina Richards, the mother of this young man, Corporal Chloe Richards, United States Marine Corps. Tina, thanks for joining us. You're not in jail, I take it.
No, I'm not in jail. I did get escorted out by the Capitol Police, by four of them, this evening, and with a threat that if I stayed, I could have a stay-away order implemented where I'd have to stay away from the Capitol and all the buildings for a year.
And if you violate that order, you'll probably wind up in Guantanamo as a terrorist. What is it that specifically that takes you to the Capitol building and is causing you to be ejected? What is it that you are doing?
Well, what I'm doing is what I've been doing since November 9th is joining with other military families, with military families speak out, Gold Star families that have lost their loved ones to this war, Iraq veterans, active duty veterans that have signed the appeal for redress. We've been trying to get an appointment with Nancy Pelosi since November 9th. And I keep returning to ask for that appointment, and we don't get a call back. No return calls, not even the courtesy that we exist. And so I went back again today and waiting for either a yes or a no, either she'll meet with us or not. And we, you know, I got a police escort out by the Capitol for Capitol Police, and was told she has no answer for us.
Well, what are her staffers saying, or her appointments secretary, or any of the, I would imagine, scores of people who work for members of Congress, certainly for the Speaker of the U.S. House? What are you being told specifically?
Well, that's the thing. Now that she's the Speaker of the House, her office is actually inside the Capitol building, which you can't go into without an appointment.
Right.
So her scheduler is also there, so we've been calling her scheduler, leaving letters and everything else we could to try to get a response. But we don't even get a return call back. All we have is the voicemail. And so we can't even go over to her office to ask for an appointment there. We have to go to her office that's still over in the Cannon office building, where her one of her chief of staff and some staffers are, and they allow us to use the phone to call the scheduler, who doesn't return our calls, and they say they have no comment.
Do you would you like to have several thousand people call on your behalf? All you have to do is give me the phone number here, and it'll go over the air. Plus, I'll put it up at my website, not to harass the speaker, but to make an impression on the person who handles the scheduling that there is someone, you, who wants to see her.
That would be wonderful. I don't have the number with me. At this point, there's an 800 number for the Capitol switchboard, though, that you can look up online or call directory assistance for the 1-800 number for Capitol directory. And you call that and ask for Nancy Pelosi's office.
Well, Ken, the number, do you, I guess what I'm asking for, Tina, is the number that you've been calling, or have you not been calling a number?
I've been going in person. I gave up calling a while ago. I do have that number. It's out in my car.
All right. I'll tell you what let's do, because I would like to get that number tonight.
Okay.
When we finish talking here, if there's any way you could get the number, and then, our associate producer, whom you spoke with tonight, Ian, if you and Ian will get in touch the same way you did to get on the program and give it to him, then he'll give it to us and we'll get it over the air tonight. And I'll guarantee you that there will be thousands of phone calls on your behalf just to get an appointment. Again, this is not to harass Nancy Pelosi, and I'm sure that's not your intent.
I don't want to harass anybody.
No.
I want to open up dialogue. I mean, one of the complaints that we've had with George Bush and the Republican administration was that there's no dialogue. We've been banging
right.
our heads against the wall for 4 years now asking for dialogue, and we have been shut down. And so many of this, I'm so glad, first of all, to be on your show, because when I was working a congressional campaign for a Democratic candidate, it was those nights that I would listen to you on my XM radio to get through all those long drives through the back hills of Missouri. And you really kept me company all those nights.
That's very kind. Tell us some about your son, Cloy. Where is he now? What is the immediate, what's he facing immediately? And a bit, if you don't mind, a bit about what he has, his injuries that he has developed as a result of going to Iraq twice now.
Well, the injuries he developed from being mortars and IEDs exploding without having the proper head helmet with the proper insets in it has created a lot of concussions, which create traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
I was in an interview with the Veterans Administration House Affairs for 2 hours, just going over some of the problems that he has. So this is, you know, not a lot I can do in this time frame, but you know, and they all said, you know, well, it sounds like he's got undiagnosed traumatic brain injury, slipped through the VA system, severe PTSD. I had to, on several occasions, talk him out of pulling a trigger when he had a gun in his mouth, and another time when he had a shotgun in his mouth. And there's so many times that when he got back from his second tour of Iraq, I was so thankful he made it home alive. Mm-hmm. And there's been so many times when I thought, oh, my God, he didn't make it home alive. And I've been fighting to keep him alive. And when I got the news that they wanted to reactivate him for a third tour and the fact that we were still struggling through the VA system, that's when I was here in D.C. and I said, I'm not leaving. your voice is going to be heard in the halls of Congress. And I've been getting in the way, and it hasn't been business as usual. And so when he reported in on March 24th, they had a VA representative hand him his disability papers, which puts him at 80% disability, from like when a cannon crushed his knee, and all the other various things. So they said, you know, you won't ever have to be deployed again. And that just happened Saturday. And I was so elated, and I was just crying and overjoyed. And then he said, but Mom, my best friend, he was there too. And there was no VA papers for him. Nobody's been fighting for him. What happens to him? Is he going to go in my place? He's worse off than me. And I told them, no, I'm staying here, and I'm not going to quit till all of them are home, because I have so much guilt from the fact that I can be overjoyed for the moment, but there is somebody else that is going to be getting the bad news that their son is going to go, or that their son was the ones killed when it wasn't my son. And I can't live with that guilt unless I know that I'm fighting here every day to end this war and bring them all home and take care of them when they get back. So we've won my son's, you know, battle, but we haven't won, you know, the peace yet.
I've had a couple of people, starting with Reggie over at TV News Lies, who have sent me the phone number. If folks would write this. This will save you a trip to the car and back, Tina.
Thank you.
The office of the speaker at the U.S. Capitol, I've got the phone number here. So if folks would just write this down. And I'll guarantee this audience that I will be calling this number tomorrow and Sunday and Monday and probably every day to try to add to an overwhelming amount of phone calls that call in on behalf of Tina Richards, but also, and I think this is a point you're trying to make, Tina, on behalf of other young men who are being brutalized like this. I've never been in a combat situation. I understand that it's absolute brutality, no matter how well you survive it, but to be forced into it two or three times, on top of being wounded both physically and mentally, this is beyond belief. So if everybody's got a phone of a pencil or something to write with, here's the number. It's area code 202, and the number is 225-0100. It's area code 202-225-0100, and that is the office of the speaker. Nancy Pelosi, 202-225-0100. That'll be at my website, MikeMalloy.com, before the program's over tonight. There have been several articles or pieces written. I've found a couple of them online about you and about Cloy. And it's just astonishing to me that mothers and sons have to go through this. And in some instances, I would guess mothers and now daughters. How old is Cloy?
He's 23 years old. He joined the Marines when he was 17.
Oh, my God.
July of 2001, he went into boot camp. And he got out in September, end of September of 2001. And it was a completely different world than what he entered.
Mm-hmm.
When he entered the military.
Where is he now, Tina?
He is currently in Missouri going to school at the Southwest Baptist University and just trying to put his life back together again. Since he got the news last Saturday, he finally feels that, you know, that he's getting the treatment that he had earned.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very upset that it took almost two years. I had sold my house and everything and trying to fight the VA system. And this is something that they should just be getting. It is not something that we have to fight and struggle just to get any type of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
The military has set up what they call the Walmart greeter standard, where if you can be a Walmart greeter, then you're not disabled. You get zero disability rating. You know, that's not what our veterans deserve.
No,
on that.
No.
They didn't ask to be sent to a war without based on lies,
mm-hmm.
and then as a first course and not as a last, you know, as a last resort.
Sure. Hey, Tina, can you hold a second?
Sure.
All right, we have to do a break here. We'll come back and then chat a little bit more. Okay? Can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay. Stay with us. This is the Malloy Program on Nova M Radio.
I've seen better men fight to the bitter end, following orders from you. don't think it's treason to ask for a reason. Nothing you've told us is true. Please, Mr. President,
this is not America. Sha-la-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la-la.
We take lives when we have to protect the people. That's how I look at it.
That's how he looks at it. Well, we're talking to Tina Richards, whose son, Marine Corporal Clay Richards, has been told that he's going to go back to Iraq for a third tour, even though, and if you're familiar with the story, you know how severe this is, and I'm sure, Tina, it could probably be multiplied many times over, other parents who are dealing with what you're dealing with. By the way, we've got another number, thanks to Karen who emailed it in. We've been told that the first number is, the mailbox is full. This one isn't. Here's the second number, 202-225-4965. That's area code 202-225-4965. Both those numbers now, we'll get to Pelosi. Other families, other moms, other dads who are dealing with this, Tina, are you in touch with them? Where's Tina? There's Tina. You're in touch with other parents, Tina?
Yes, I am. I've been getting emails since January 29th when this all started. I am a member of Military Families Speak Out. But I've been contacted by hundreds of other members of the military and their families asking me, you know, for different fights and everything else and what I can do to help. And I told them, I'm here for them. I'm here for the duration. I am going to try to, on the break for Congress is on break till the 16th. And I'm going to use that opportunity to put my stuff into storage in Missouri and come out here and see if I can afford to find a place and stay here and continue the fight.
You know, I have a hard time with the idea that Speaker Pelosi won't even, or her people, you know, maybe they keep her shielded, but surely she saw the video, like the rest of the world, of David Obey and his nasty attitude toward you. But I can't believe, this sounds like something a Republican would do. All right, not necessarily the Republican, but someone who supports this war, who is not interested in talking to the people who are contributing sons and daughters. So few Americans are that you would think Pelosi would respond. I can't quite get my mind around that. Do you have any idea why she's ignoring you?
I can't get my mind around it either, except for when she proposed the supplemental, and then she... That gives no safeguards for our kids because the president can just sign something away, and then she has these benchmarks that is supposedly there to bring our troops home, but they're only for combat troops. My son was artillery. He was responsible for killing thousands of people with artillery, and that's not combat. That's support, combat support.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, to say combat troops will be out is very few, but they can still keep combat troops out to fight al-Qaeda or terrorists or to train the military. Well, that's all the reasons why we have the military there now. The supplemental pays for the escalation that they so adamantly were against. There is, you know, this is such a bad bill that was written, and that's part of with David Obey and everything was that I brought up legitimate questions that were actually legislation that was submitted by his colleagues, and he just dismissed it as idiot liberals. And I'm thinking, you know, the contempt for the people that truly want this war to end is just unbelievable, and that the Democratic leadership, which also includes Chris Van Hollen, Steny Hoyer, Rahm Emanuel, they are bound and determined to have a victory, a political victory, even though it's a hollow victory, and have absolutely no concern for what it's really going to do for our soldiers. And that's one of the reasons why so many of us wanted to talk to her back in November was that our concerns would be heard, that they would be addressed, that they would be considered. And then as we continued to not get calls, we got very concerned. We have continued to try to get an appointment. And then when the supplemental came out and we saw that it provides no real support for our troops, it provides no way home for our troops, there's no mechanism even in August of 08 to bring home. And she's just determined that this is a democratic victory rather than something that is going to help America and help our kids. And then she kept saying a new way forward out in Iraq. And I'm like, no, the American people voted ourselves so that we could get out of Iraq. Not a new way forward, not another way, not in, you know, 2 years or 3 years or whatever. We want out of Iraq. We want our kids home.
You know, as I listen to you and as I've read about you, I've got to say, Tina, and I say this with respect, not pity, but my heart just breaks for you. I have children. I have grandchildren. I think about the struggle that I have had over my life to take care of my kids, to make sure as best I could that they were safe. When they became adults, to try to offer advice, or if I saw an avalanche heading their way, just to say, look, son, or look, daughter, step out of the way. My heart breaks for you, Tina. It must be just sheer hell to find yourself in this situation. I don't know what else to say. All I can look, we've got to go. Will you please stay in touch with us?
I will, and I hope that if your listeners can join me out here in Washington D.C. and let's take our country back. That's, because I right now from this viewpoint, I don't see much of a difference between the two parties. I see a lot of people playing politics.
I just want
the Americans here, and let's take our country back.
I hear you. Tina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Just be strong. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We will have the numbers up, phone numbers for Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, within the next few minutes. And a website where you can go to the Speaker's website, and there is a contact us link on the homepage. Now, I don't know if that if the contact us link is legit. I got an email from someone in California. I think it said it just flips you back to her homepage, and you know how members of Congress are. If you're not in their zip codes of their district, you don't get through. That's how's that for democracy in action. But you are a very adroit group, so you'll figure out how to do it. The phone numbers again, if you want to write them down, area code 202 for both of them, 225-0100, 225-0100, and 225-4965, 225-4965. 23-year-old kid. Butter7 writes, Mike, tell your guests that there's a lady in California who will be calling Pelosi to keep the pressure on. And what's up with all the women? So many have emerged as amazing voices of courage in the past few years. It's almost like the Abuelas de los Desparecidos in Argentina. When everyone else was so terrorized, the grandmothers went out into the plaza with pictures of their disappeared sons and grandsons and demanded justice. So now we have the mothers of the wounded, the mothers of the murdered, standing up, really standing up, chasing down these politicians, getting noisy, refusing to give in. I'm in awe of all the amazing women. Yeah, remember those pictures from the early 80s? The grandmothers looking like grandmothers in dictatorships have always looked, whether they were in South America or Europe or Asia, sitting there with pictures of their loved ones quietly waiting. I always thought, didn't you? I always thought we were better than that, or different from that. Not to cop some kind of an arrogant attitude here, but different from that, that our system was better than that, that our system would respond better than that. I guess at one time it did. Okay. Again, because you know we made a big deal about this, and it's you know very seldom do we do anything fun on this program. It's all. It just, oh my God. I told Kathy a million times, sometimes I just want to gouge my eyes out rather than keep doing this. But what are you going to do? So the fun part is this DVD we have of the Dixie Chicks movie, Shut Up and Sing. And again, I want to thank Daryl in Montgomery, Alabama for, he's another one working in the belly of the beast like we do. Montgomery, Alabama. Good God. you can get in touch with him if you want to. It's Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, Daryl at democracyinteractive.com. That's his website, democracyinteractive.com. He's a web designer. Check it out. Anyway, again, what happened was Daryl sent us three copies of the film, and last weekend Kathy and I looked at it, and watched the movie, and a couple of times there you just want to stay, unless your heart is made out of granite, you just want to stand up and cheer. It's like the old time movies, when the hero comes riding in, and the music, my God, I said it before, I have missed something with the Dixie Chicks because their music is just incredibly good. Incredibly good. Have we got down to three yet, Kathy?
I'm sorry, I was updating the website. Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to that person behind you. Yeah, we're
reluctantly.
This has been difficult. I shouldn't say are we down to three. I know we're down to three, but this has been very difficult trying to pare this down. We should have done it like American Idol, I guess, and just went for the votes. But
we need six different
people.
800 numbers.
Yeah, we do. And
dedicated, and then a.
And then we also need people to help us out.
Right.
So since we don't have any of that, it's kind of fallen on our shoulders, right? So. What are we down to? In no particular order. These are the three really, really finalists.
Spinderella. Legally Bland.
Too Much Cappuccino Perino. All right, Spinderella, Legally Bland, and Too Much Cappuccino Perino. All right. And we will have a winner here within the next 45 minutes. This is difficult. But that's the way it goes.
It might make it easier if people could hear some of Ditzy Dana, which I must have had 50,000 entries of Ditzy Dana or the Ditzy Chick or
All right.
Dizzy
well,
Dana.
We'll do that in just a second. Right now, let's grab a couple of phone calls here before we get way behind. Zach is calling from South Dakota. Zach, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you this evening?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm okay. I'm working through my awakening, you know?
You're working through what?
My awakening.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I hear you.
You know, I just wanted to call, and of course, as you, and I hope it doesn't be taken wrong, pour my heart out to Tina, her family, and all families in her situation.
Yeah.
I did expect more from our people. You know, it just blows my mind to think of the situation. I'm just as set back as you are.
Yeah.
If I could, I'd stand right there hand in hand with her. And I can't. But I'm here, and you know, at least I'm here. And by that, it's not an easy task for me, Mike. I'm a young man. I'm just coming into that golden 30-ish stage where it's time for me to make a decision with my life and decide whether or not I want to stand up and be a righteous man and try to get my voice heard. And I'm in a line of work where, since I've chosen to be a liberal, I pretty much get outcasted by a lot of the people that I work with and around.
Yeah.
So it's not easy. But I will say this. After listening to Tina's story this evening, I know if it managed to touch me and grab me, make me stand up, then at least I'm one. And I know there's going to be plenty of others. Well, you know, I'm in the truck driving business. I do it across the country. And as a lot of people know, this is a really hard group to catch liberally.
That's, yeah. Although, ever since I've been on the air, which has been about the past 20-some years, I have found, surprisingly, a rather substantial cadre of liberals, progressives, who are long-distance truckers. They probably feel the same way you do, that it's best sometimes to just go about your business and not, especially the independents, just go about your business. But the way I've come to know some of these guys is through emails 15, 18 years ago when this country wasn't quite as polarized. They would call in occasionally. It's hard to do that now because then your voice or your idea is out there. But I still get the emails, and there is a strong core of truck drivers who, like you, are nobody's fools and understand what's going on. But I hear you loud and clear.
Thank you. I thank you again. What a great show.
Thanks, Zach. Take care. Drive safe. All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
Let it be. 21 past the hour. A couple more numbers here for you regarding Tina Richards and her son. If you're just joining us, this is a woman who was embarrassed and made a fool of by Democratic Representative David Obey. I guess he apologized later. And now can't get through to Democratic Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Her son is going back, or has been ordered back, for a third tour with all the injuries and wounds he's gotten. And he's going to a Baptist college in Missouri, unlike Dick Cheney, who got three, or was it four, student deferments. That sort of thing doesn't exist anymore. So The object here is to get Nancy Pelosi, not to harass her, not to call her names or jump down her throat, but to get her to respond. Just respond to Tina Richards. Just take 5 minutes. I think everybody realizes she is third in line for the most powerful office on the moon or on Earth or on Mars, whatever. And she's a very busy person. Tonight she's probably in Syria or Jerusalem or someplace. But, you know, this is a woman who has asked for 5 minutes. And I know. If everybody asks for 5 minutes of speaker's time, it reminds me of my fourth grade teacher. If everyone asks for 5 minutes of speaker, nobody get any work. That's not the issue, and you know it as well as I. Tina Richards is the mother. Corporal, United States Marine Corps Corporal Cloy Richards is the son. And according to Reg at TVNewsLies.org, she got through with a thank you message. It was not redirected anywhere, going to the website speaker.gov/contact. That's right, speaker.gov/contact. And Nick in, I'm not sure where Nick is, maybe in California, but he's got Nancy Pelosi's number for me here in San Francisco with a mailbox that is not yet full. Both of the other numbers you gave over the air, Nick writes, have mailboxes that are now full. All right, here's the number if you want to make a call to Nancy Pelosi's district number in San Francisco. It's area code 415-556-4862. Again, it's 415-556-4862. And I don't have to tell this crew that, you know, being respectful to, you know, Nancy Pelosi is not the enemy by any means. Being respectful and respectfully requesting that the speaker find someplace in her schedule to meet with Tina Richards would probably work more successfully than going berserk like I do. Right? So thanks, Nick, and thanks, Reg, and thanks to everybody who has provided these numbers. All right. Let's listen to it. Have we got time to listen to a little Dana Perino here? This is from today's news conference. Hyper meth speedy Perino sets the record straight here, sort of, on the problem of Alberto Gonzalez's lies to Congress. So we just want you to hear a couple of these. The reporter, White House reporter, says, Dana, the comments you made yesterday made it sound like the White House's view towards the Attorney General is this is a mess and he needs to clean it up. Now, do you think, Dana, that the president is risking looking out of touch on the Gonzalez situation?
I did say the president has full confidence in him. And some of the I heard someone said that I had tepid support of the Attorney General. That's not true. In fact, I talked to the president again this morning after the gaggle. I had a chance to talk with him, and he does have 100% confidence in the Attorney General. And yes, indeed, the Justice Department has work to do, and the president has said that the Attorney General does need to continue to talk to members of Congress. He can do that in a variety of ways. He can do it by telephone or by letter, and by certainly testifying in his first hearing scheduled for April 17th.
Talk faster, talk faster. Some of us can still make out the individual words.
Just for the record, I want everyone out there in the listening audience who has a computer to go to whitehouse.gov or cspan.org and listen for yourself. I did not speed that up at all.
No.
So you know, I don't want to be accused of, like Rush Limbaugh did, of slowing down his speech. I don't want to be accused of speeding up Speedy Perino.
We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
Bye.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-five before the hour. That's dedicated to Dana Perino. Okay. All right. Going back to today's press briefing, the next crack White House press corps member asked Dana why anybody should have any confidence in Bush's Tejano Torquemada, the torture boy, after his lies were revealed in the hearings yesterday. You know, Kyle Sampson, the cipher. And, of course, Dana referred to those hearings as show trials. No, that was in the old Soviet Union. Reporter says, Dana, this speaks to the point that there's nobody who supports the Attorney General in the Republican Party. It's no secret there are Republicans all over town who are shaking their heads saying, why has the president so pugnaciously dug in on this? With the possible exception of Orrin Hatch, Dana, can you name a Republican who has publicly supported Alberto Gonzalez?
I'm not going to get into list making. I think that you've heard members of Congress say that they want to hear from the Attorney General, and they're going to have an opportunity to do that on April 17th. There's been no evidence of anything improper or wrongdoing in the decision for the Justice Department to recommend the replacement of 8 U.S. attorneys who serve at the pleasure of the president. And that's why the president continues to have confidence in the Attorney General, that he runs a great department. They have wonderful employees who work there.
You're doing a good job, Brownie!
Numerous corruption cases and helping prevent child exploitation.
Yeah, that's going down.
I just can't see how having show trials up on Capitol Hill would be any more out of touch with what the president is doing, which is getting on with the business of the day.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. What was the Clinton impeachment trial with the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court wearing gold-striped robes? What the hell was that? That was a show trial, Dana. My God.
I just want to know, like, what they're putting in the coffee right there at the White House press office. You know, I just got to know what it is.
Yeah, really.
Because, I mean, it's better than anthrax.
She is just out of control. Last one from this Hyper Valley girl, this time on Chicken Hawk's visit to Walter Reed Hospital today. The reporter says, some of the families and veterans groups are calling this a photo op, Dana. Is the president satisfied with the immediate action he's been that has been taken? Why didn't he go sooner? Why didn't he go, Dana, when the Walter Reed scandal first came out in the media reports?
They're asking me to answer a question that, you know, I just don't know if it's answerable. What I can tell you is that the president immediately took action. His cabinet took action. He was very pleased that Secretary Gates took the action he did to hold those accountable that needed to be held accountable. And then Secretary Nicholson moved forward to make sure that they canvassed all across the country to make sure that immediate needs were getting taken care of.
Yeah.
We worked hard to find time on the president's schedule where he could spend 3 hours up there, which he's going to do today, visiting not just the patients, but the workers, the medical workers and the staff up there that provide the support to the soldiers.
Oh, 3 hours. Wow. Presidenting is hard work, right, Dana? He has to spend 3 whole hours with the amputees and the burn victims and the brain damaged and the other maimed troops who are victims of his oil war. That's really tough. You know, presidenting is hard. And he had other things to do today, too, right, Dana? There was a golf lesson, and it's Storytime Friday at the Children's Library with Pickles. And of course, there's a Final Four coverage on Fox Sports. So, yeah, it's hard making time, 3 whole hours to spend with the troops. You know, Dana, this rat son of a bitch has no problem hauling troops out to stack behind him when he's talking about the Democrats or when he's talking about more money for his filthy war. No problem at all, Dana. All you have to do is call the nearest base commander and say, how about 80 of them some bitches, spit and polished. I want them stacked behind me like cordwood. I don't give a goddamn. Just don't have any of them out there with visible wounds. I don't want anybody in wheelchairs. I don't want anybody on crutches. Just get me the bodies, Commander, fast. I'm going to talk about war. I'm going to talk about being Commander-in-Chief. Get the bodies. He can do that. How many times has this cowardly little freak done that? 3 hours with the troops. Eh, Dana? Yeah. I'm war president. You know, I'm sitting on the sitting in war president's seat. First war of the new century. It's so disgusting. It's almost not human. Really. It's Henry Kissinger, it's Dick Cheney, it's Elliot Abrams, it's Donald Rumsfeld. It's take these young and not so young in this war because, or this occupation, this invasion, this prostitution of our troops, this disdain of whatever military honor this country has accumulated in 230 years. No, this is different. Some of these guys are 19 and 20, but some of them are 45 and 50. We've got grandfathers coming home in coffins. We've got mothers and aunties coming home in coffins. Son of a bitch. There just isn't any other issue right now, Truth Seeker. There just isn't. Except stopping this. There is no other issue. All right, let's do Bush. Yeah, he was at Walter Reed. So let's skip forward to that, to his tacky photo op today. Miserable bastard. 3 hours, huh? Only took you 6 weeks to get there. How far is it by cab from the White House to Walter Reed? And he's going to veto. You see, this tacky little rat is going to veto the bill that the Democrats and House and the Senate are going to reconcile. They both have passed bills now, one with a non-binding section about bringing the troops home in 2008, another one with a binding section about beginning the withdrawal of the troops and having them all out by 2008. But the bill also contains more money needed for the killing to continue than this cowardly little thug in the White House asked for. It also contains $20 million for Walter Reed. It also contains $2 billion for Veterans Affairs, and he's going to veto it, see? And he's going to veto it because this is his war. And he likes the killing. He likes playing Commander-in-Chief. He likes playing dress-up on the deck of an aircraft carrier. He's a cowardly punk, and he loves doing this. But today he has a photo op with the very people who are depending on this bill to go through. The veterans who are sitting there at Walter Reed and the various Veterans Administration hospitals and nursing homes and critical care homes around the country who are desperately in need of money. And this toy son of a bitch is going to veto this bill because it gives him everything he wants. Oh, and he refers to the money going to the veterans as pork. You filthy, filthy man. You filthy man. When your approval rating is hovering in the high 20s or low 30s and virtually every member of your crime family is under some kind of congressional investigation, what's a failing dictator to do? Huh? Well, this decider's advisors decided to put him in front of the best backdrop they could conjure. Wounded warriors at Walter Reed Hospital. Huh? Doesn't this rat do it every time? This rat, every time he does, doesn't he? Bring me some of them goddamn soldiers. Stack them back here. This is vile. The so-called conservative couldn't quite sound so-called convincing in his so-called compassion for the maimed and wounded people he created.
Every time I come to Walter Reed, my spirits are lifted. They're first lifted by the soldiers and Marines who are recovering from some very tough wounds.
You ghoul.
Every time I come to Walter Reed, I'm also impressed by the caregivers, the docs, the nurses. And so, on behalf of a grateful nation, I do want to thank our docs and our nurses and caregivers for providing extraordinary health care to the people who wear the uniform. I know full well that the work you do is behind the scenes. In other words, you don't get a lot of glory for what you do, but you certainly do from the family members who first come here and they see their loved one on a bed, wondering whether or not that person will ever walk again. And then 6 months later, the body is returning and the spirit is strong. The family and the soldier is impressed by that care.
Jesus God, listen to that. Listen to that. This ghoulish vampire, his spirits are lifted when he comes in and sees the human wreckage that he's created. You know, George, long after your ass is dead and gone, some of these soldiers and Marines are still going to be struggling with the wounds that you gave them. Grammar aside, about the family and the soldier is impressed. I is impressed, Mr. President, by the black mold and the bats and the mice. That's a real winning combination, isn't it? How many families of the wounded warriors you created thank you for the unexpected pets they receive at Walter Reed, huh? Little furry, skittering companions. Thanks! I'd pet the rats, but, you know, Mr. President, I don't have any arms.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on.
Well, they're being brought on, aren't they, George? Cynthia writes, Mike, I thought I heard a comment from that stinking rat bastard Bush that he would take care of the wounded troops. Right, just like he took care of New Orleans after Katrina. Vile is putting it politely. Cynthia? In San Jose. And Tony writes, Mike, George Bush was scheduled for 3 hours to visit Reed, but instead, after 2 hours, he split. And Tony gives me the address at MSNBC.com where that is reported. He couldn't even spend 3 hours there. Nah. So, Chuckle Nuts passes the buck on Walter Reed problems, as we stated before. After he's broken his toy soldiers, he really doesn't care much what happens to them next.
The problems at Walter Reed were caused by bureaucratic and administrative failures. The system failed you, and it failed our troops. And we're gonna fix it.
Yeah.
I met some of the soldiers who had been housed in Building 18.
Yeah.
I was disturbed by their accounts of what went wrong. It is not right to have someone volunteer to wear a uniform and not get the best possible care.
You think?
I apologize for what they went through.
Hear that?
And we're going to fix the problem.
Yeah, we're going to fix it.
Building 18 has been closed.
See, it's fixed.
We're fixing that which needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Including, interestingly enough, putting a new roof on it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This military system of ours, when you really think about it, just across the country, it's very complex and it's large.
Like China.
Yet there's nothing complex about what we owe our troops.
Yeah.
We owe them the best.
Yeah, okay, we owe them the best. No, what we owe them, you psychopath, is not to send our troops someplace where they should not go. And that is a war of opportunity because your Viagra isn't working and you got to do something to get it up. Right? Huh? The system failed the veterans? No, the system didn't fail the veterans, George. You did. And your filthy attorney, defense secretary, Rumsfeld, failed. And the way he apologized, I apologize for what they went through. Way too little too late, Chicken Hawk. Oh, and interestingly, we're putting a new roof on Building 18. Yeah, that's the only problem with your entire Iraq disaster and lack of preparedness for the tens of thousands of maimed troops. The quality of the roof. This military system of ours, when you really think about it, just across the country, it's very complex and it's large. And, of course, none of that entered your hollow little brain before the illegal war, right? Huh? Hey, I got a crazy idea, Chuckle Nuts. If you really feel we owe the troops the best, let's bring them home before any more die or get maimed or are forced into psychotically crazed situations where they have to murder people. Huh? And then they're going to suffer from that for the rest of their life. Let's bring them home. Wouldn't that be the best for these war-weary troops, many of whom are ill-trained National Guard members or have kids and even grandkids to think about? Don't you think, George? Huh? Don't you think maybe? Last one from Bush's ultimate photo op. Got to appreciate the irony about the wounded warriors playing cards, since Bush has treated them like his game pieces since day one. Listening to him speak so nonchalantly about the prosthetic devices these soldiers need because of illegal war is almost more than I can take. Listen up. Do you hear any compassion in this conservative?
Just came from the therapy rooms, the physical therapy and the vocational therapy rooms. I see people patiently working with, a wounded soldier on how to pick up cards and play cards with a new prosthesis. It's just hours of help. And so our nation is grateful. And I'm proud to be your commander-in-chief. Thank you very much.
Your commander-in-chief, you cowardly son of a bitch. If I were in the military and you were my commander-in-chief, I'd walk away. I'd never go back. It's just hours of help teaching them to pick up cards, more than you've ever considered. More than you've ever considered the aftermath of your bloody massacre. It's astonishing. Hours of help to pick up cards, and the hours are a hell of a lot more than you've ever considered. Oh, well, he spent 2 hours today with the veterans, so why bitch and complain about that, right? I'm sure the veterans who were there were uplifted and glad that the man who ordered them to go have their legs blown off finally came to check them out. Whew. It's. I don't know. I don't have any words for it. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. I think we have a winner in the Dana Perino nickname contest. But before we do that, we have somebody here on the phone from Florida, Bill, who wants to talk about Bush. Go ahead, Bill. Hey, Bill.
I don't necessarily know that I want to talk about Bush. And I kind of feel like I was going to be hamstrung into this position. Let's talk about Bush.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
I mean, what about Bush? I mean, it's not the president.
No, it's your call, Bill. What do you want to talk about?
What I'm trying to say is, it's not the president's job to inspect every building that the federal government funds. I mean,
who's suggesting he do that?
Everybody's blaming Bush.
Who's blaming Bush?
You. You're the one saying.
What am I blaming Bush for?
For the conditions at Walmart.
No, 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 I'm not. See, you're not listening. What I'm blaming Bush for is sending people into an illegal war and then not giving a damn about them when they come home with their arms and legs shot off. Don't you understand that?
Yeah, I can't believe you'd say something like that. First off, it's an all-volunteer army. When I went to war, it wasn't because someone...
Do you understand something? Apparently you don't. How many of these soldiers do you think volunteered? So are you telling me that people who joined the National Guard were joining up to go fight an urban war in Iraq? Are you out of your mind?
Why do you think they gave you a gun and camouflage when
okay,
you went?
Goodbye, Bill. Have a good life. You're out of here. Get the scum off my program. And he represents 32% of the population, too. One out of every three people in this country think that way. That's the effect this filthy pig man and the parrot have had on so many Americans. Americans who otherwise are kind of brain dead anyway, but it's so easy to fill their heads up with this right-wing drivel where... You can't. I mean, where do you? How do you establish any kind of contact with somebody like that? Who starts out by saying, "Do you expect him to inspect all the buildings?" That is so Rush speak. That's so right out of Rush Limbaugh's rear end. It's unbelievable.
Speaking of L. Rushbo, I just wanted everyone to know that I wish that Rushbo still had a little snippets of his program up free on his website, which he
well, you've
not
been using
anymore.
Them to you've been using them too often, and he heard about it, and you and I've been mocking him, so now you have to pay,
which is unfortunate because yesterday I was driving in the car and I almost had an accident coming back from the grocery store because Rush was actually advocating, and I'm not making this up, and he was not being tongue-in-cheek, advocating eating endangered species so they wouldn't be endangered anymore. Like,
I gotta ask you, why do you listen to that stuff?
Because my choice at that time... I'm in the truck.
We have Sirius satellite radio. Oh, you had the pickup.
In the truck.
Oh, okay.
We don't have Sirius in the truck. I'm in the truck. So my choice is Rush or at that hour, the last few minutes of Bortz or Clark Howard talking about how to return your faulty washing machine. I mean, I don't have a lot of options. So, and also, I believe in Know Your Enemy. So every once in a while, I have to listen to Rush or someone says, my
but
God.
But you also have a 6 CD changer in that truck.
I know, but I'm a political talk radio junkie. So anyway,
you're going to have a nervous breakdown.
I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh, and he's advocating eating polar bears, and I'm not making this up, polar bears or any other species that's endangered, as he calls it, or possibly might be going extinct.
Is that the program where he said that, you know, look at chickens, they're not going extinct, look
exactly.
At cows, they're not going, and pigs, because we eat them.
Because capitalism will provide for the animals that we eat as food to make sure that they continue in the gene pool. So if there's an animal that's about to become extinct,
start eating.
He said instinct, but I know he meant extinct, that we should just eat them. And then capitalism will make sure that that animal survives. And if you doubt this, there is a transcript. You can't get the sound, and believe me, True Seekers, other than subscribing, there was no other way I could think of to get the sound.
And as a result of program that sort of stuff, I get phone calls from a jackleg freak like this last guy that called in.
And I want to say to this guy, you know, do you know if you go eat polar bears, then, you know, by your logic, dude, there'll be more polar bears, man, because, like, you're eating them.
I just can't get on that level. All right, do we have a fanfare? Because we have a winner. What do we have? Do we have anything?
There's, like, the Galleria. I'm, like, all these, like, really great shoe stores. I, like, love going into, like, clothing stores and stuff. I, like, buy the neatest mini skirts and stuff. Like, so bitchin', because, like, everybody's, like, super, super nice. Like, anyway, he goes, are you into S&M? I go, oh, right. Could you, like, just picture me in, like, a leather teddy? Yeah, right. Hurt me. I'm sure, no way. He's, like, freaking me.
All right, it's not a fanfare, but close enough. That's Moon Unit, of course. Valley Girl. All right. Do you want
to... It's okay,
to...
because, like, I'm from a really good part of Encino.
Do you want to announce the winner?
Did we have a winner? Our final three, to remind Mike, and then he will announce the winner, was Legally Bland.
Legally Bland.
Spinderella. And Dana Too Much Cappuccino Burrino.
What happened to Dana Bodana, Dana Bana Bobana?
That was number four.
Oh, it was?
That was our fourth. Yeah.
That was a good one, too.
That
All
was
right.
our fourth one.
Spinderella.
Too Much Cappuccino Burrino.
And?
Spinderella. Oh, and Legally Bland.
Legally Bland.
Now, you have to remember, you were just listening to Dana talk this fast on the press conference a few minutes ago, what you were talking about. You know, I know what you said about Gonzalez, but I'll tell you what, we still have full faith and credit in the Attorney General because he's doing a really, really good job. And besides
right.
the fact
well,
he's really cute, he's got gray hair.
After really dealing with some good entries and paring this down, we have picked the winner, and the winner is...
Oh, you're going to announce the winner.
No, go ahead.
I believe it would have to be Too Much Cappuccino Burrito.
Yeah, Too Much Cappuccino Burrito.
But you know what? We're going to use all three. And I'll probably call her the ditzy chick, too.
Too Much Cappuccino Burrito.
Clean the cat box. I am sure it looks like gross. Barf out.
All right. Too Much Cappuccino Burrito. As soon as we heard that one, we kind of drifted towards it the other night. But Too Much Cappuccino Burrito. Now, who sent that? They have to send us their address so we can mail them the...
I have Scott's address in New York.
Oh, Scott in New York.
Scott in New York is the winner. Scott, congratulations. We will be sending you a limited edition DVD, courtesy not of us, but of
Daryl.
Daryl
in Montgomery, Alabama, right. who has... what's Daryl's website is... Oh, damn, I've got it right here. But he's a graphic designer.
While Mike's looking for that, it'll be a Shut Up and Sing DVD.
DemocracyInteractive.com.
And, of course, this is the DVD. It was nominated for five Academy Awards, including Best Documentary. Of course, lost out to Al Gore. You can't blame him there.
I thought it was nominated for five Grammys.
No, well, No. Yeah,
their album.
Their new album.
New album. Was.
Yeah.
And they won.
Not Ready to Make Nice won
right.
all those Grammys. But the DVD is Shut Up and Sing, and it chronicles the making of that new album.
That's
and
it,
and
yeah.
their fall from grace, so to speak, in the country music circles after their Top of the World album.
Okay, so who is it again? Scott in New York?
Scott in New York, you're getting a DVD.
Maybe we can find a deck of those cards, too.
Like, all the guys in the class, like, terribly disgusting. I'm, like, so sure. Like, barf me out. Gag me with a spoon.
Best idea to find.
the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Scott in New York is also going to get, courtesy of TVNewsLies.org, one of their loaded decks. And if you want to see this, just go to TVNewsLies.org and find it, the loaded deck. It's about members of the Bush administration and other freaks and geeks and morons. And Reg is going to send that to you directly, Scott. Thanks, Reggie. Also, we're going to do something else. What, next week? And we got a really nice offer from some friends out on the West Coast. Fairywoodland.com. You've heard me talk about that before. They make houses for fairies. And we folk, and we have one. And matter of fact, we have not just a house for fairies, a little fairy house, but we also have what is it, Kathy? It's a doorway that we haven't put that one up yet. But Bridget at fairywoodland.com has offered a one of these little doorways that you attach. It's a fairy doorway attached to a tree on your property or in your apartment or wherever you want to put it. And it really is, you can see all this stuff by going to fairywoodland.com. A couple of artists, craftspeople, who on the West Coast who do this, and it's just incredible artwork. But Bridget has offered us one of these. So on our next little contest, not only will there be a DVD of Shut Up and Sing from Daryl in Birmingham, but also a fairy doorway, handcrafted. You ought to see this stuff. Go to their website. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. From Bridget and her husband John, who design and make these things. So this is so much better, isn't it, than giving away $10,000? Oh man. Well, not better than, but you know. So next Friday we'll do this again. Alicia writes in, the subject line, Commander in Cheat. Hi, Mike. Boy, he can't get enough calling himself Commander in Chief, can he? He's not fit to lead pigs through crap. Wouldn't it be great if there was a congressperson with the stones to say to him what Jesse Helms said to Clinton after Helms proclaimed Clinton unfit to be Commander in Chief? You remember this? This is several years back, and it just freaked me out, freaked a lot of people out. Jesse Helms, the gay-baiting, homophobic, right-wing, neo-Nazi Klan senator from North Carolina said, Mr. Clinton better watch out if he comes down here. He'd better have a bodyguard. Remember that? Yeah. And this from Wayne. Then we're going to take your phone calls. Hey, Mike, I'm a long-haul trucker, and I've always spread the word in person about, you know, liberalism, progressive, yada, yada. Spouting off lefty ideas on the CB always leads to nonsensical, or I'm sorry, spouting off lefty ideas on the CB always leads to nonsensical rantings and threats. But in person, a lot of guys are far more reasonable than one might think. I recall sitting at a counter before the 04 election and John Kerry was on the tube. While I was trying to read the closed caption, an enormous trucker muttered Kerry's name in disgust. When I asked him what was wrong with John Kerry, he didn't have an answer. I'll assume he listened to Pigman and Parrot. But by the time we were finished, this guy was ready to send funds to the Kerry campaign. Anybody who works for a living and votes for these right-wing freaks has to be ignorant, but maybe they aren't completely stupid. Peace, Wayne. Yeah, we have a lot of truckers who listen to this program, and not, you know, that's the stereotyping, like I do. Like I stereotype all Republicans as brain-dead thugs, and I know I shouldn't do that. But to stereotype all the truckers as being right-wingers, that's not true either. So just thought I'd pass that on. All right, stick around. Phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NOVEM Radio.
Oh, sweet Mary, woman at the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toe over the line. Been changing as you can plainly see. I felt the joy and I learned about the pain that my mama said. If I should choose to make a part of me, I should have stopped.
Night Truth Seekers, time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Here's an email from Kim. VeteransAgainstTorture.com founding member, NOVA-M founding member, also part of VeteransForPeace.org. He writes, Mike, did you notice how Bush can't even bring himself to talk about the damaged, blown-up soldiers he created? He only sees the business side. He talks about the wonderful job the docs and nurses are doing, about families coming to visit them, calls them bodies, and talks about the hours spent training them to pick up a card. As if he's talking about some pack of hunting dogs who tussled with a cougar or something. If he ever does talk about the soldiers, it's all about how proud he is. The man has no feelings, no emotions other than anger and glee at inflicting pain. Kim. Yeah, I hear you. And then I got this from SB. You folks have got to give me a name once in a while. Mike, I try to listen to KLSD in San Diego as often as possible around work hours and all. Although I've always been interested in politics, it was never forefront of my life since the 60s. I had since gone on to be a wife and very busy mother. These last two elections turned my heart around once again, and I paid particular attention and tried to catch up with what was going on. Now I fear for my daughter's future, as I did for my family during Vietnam with the draft and all. I don't know how you get away with saying all the things you do about the president and all his antics, but thank God you do. With the FCC fining everyone for saying things we all want to say, except, of course, the small percentage of Bible thumpers that don't live what they preach, or they wouldn't be doing what they do. What hypocrites. I love to hear you say Bush crime family and so many more superlatives that truly describe these nasty, filthy thieves and criminals. Thank you for speaking your mind and the truth as you see it. I physically got ill during the election because I couldn't understand how my neighbors and co-workers could place their lives and their children's lives in the hands of such a moron and hypocrite. Talk about sheep to the slaughter. I'm a Christian woman of 54 now. I actually had to stop wearing my cross after the election as the word Christian was making me feel dirty. I put a flag on my front yard this last election, something I hadn't done in probably 20 years. I want my country and my religion back. I want to be able to have open dialogue with my friends again, without worrying who's going to turn me in or hate me. I want my daughter to know that elections matter and that there is hope. My God, we used to worry about the big bomb coming in the 50s, although as a child it was more like a story than a real possibility. We didn't have to worry then about whether the food and the water and the meat would be edible. We didn't have to worry about whether the temperature was going to be so hot next year the plants we used to grow can't seem to tolerate the heat anymore, not to mention us. Even before we really heard much about global warming, we had met two couples from Scotland at a party some 2 or 3 years ago. One woman told us that when they were growing up, the mountains were always covered with snow where they lived, but that over the last 10 years or so, they had noticed it was all melting and that the temperature had gotten warmer. That really hits home now. You wonder how it will affect all the little things we take for granted. Well, Mike, I didn't plan on this long of a note, but I guess I just needed to say it. Thank you so much for your words each day and mostly for your guts. I also dropped a thank you line to the radio station to thank them for Progressive Radio, just to get that in as well. Good luck. And God bless you on this journey. It's going to be a bitch. Can I say that? Ha ha. Well, thank you, SB. We get such wonderful letters in here, emails. It's just astonishing to me. I wish I could read them all on the air. Got one here from Mohammed, who is... who lives in this country. Well, let me read this one, too, and then we go to your phone calls. Also, a Barbara, but I'll let that one wait. This is what Muhammad wrote. Mike, I love your show and have tried to call in several times. I'm writing this letter to beg you to save my beautiful country, Iran. I moved to the U.S. in July of 2001 for the promise of freedom, and I have seen everything but that. Unfortunately, people of this country are pushed around with the media's agenda, and that's the biggest compromise of freedom. Let me be clear, I have no support for the current government of Iran, and that's why I moved out of the country. But seeing everything from a different angle now, it seems your current government is far worse than Iran's. A few days ago, Nancy Pelosi was forced to take out the language from the war bill that suggested the president would need Senate approval to attack Iran. Surprisingly, that happened right after the meeting with AIPAC. That makes you wonder what kind of backbone Democrats have in this country. I'm sure you've heard about the recent news leaks about possible attacks against my country on April 6th. It makes me sick to my stomach to hear some of the arguments that some use in justifying such attacks. Such attacks would either make the current government in Iran stronger or would destroy the entire country, just like Iraq. Did I say Iraq? I meant Iran. Iranians are peaceful people that never attacked any nation. It wouldn't be fair if all Americans were punished for a few idiots running the country. I'd like to invite you to take a look at some of the pictures of my beautiful country before it is ruined. I beg you to invite your listeners to peace toward Iranians and stop the warmongers from destroying my country. Peace, Muhammad. There are some good photos at irandefense.net. Well, no, here. Tehran 24, the number 24, Tehran24.com. Well, rather than I try to give them to you, just find them. Websites for photos of Iran. And it is. It is a beautiful, beautiful country. It is, it's not what most Americans think it is. It just isn't. It's a beautiful country. All right. Phone calls. John is calling from Oakland, California. John, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program. Hey, John.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, John. You're
on
the air. Hi.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, my favorite was Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
Or my own, which was Doo-Wop-A-Diddy-Diddy-Dum-Diddy-Dana.
Yeah, well, like I said, we got so many good ones. It was rough, but I like the one... Cappuccino Perino.
Yeah, we've got a lot of creative people on the left here, I think.
I think.
Yeah. You know, the poet John Lennon had a saying, a working class hero is something to be.
Say it again? I'm sorry.
A working class hero is something to be.
Right.
And I think Tina Richards is a working class hero.
Yeah. You know, she like she said, she's going to put everything in storage back in Missouri and go to D.C. This is so reminiscent of what other women have done. Cindy Sheehan comes immediately to mind. The grandmothers who would go to the plazas in the cities in Chile or Argentina holding the pictures of their family members who had been disappeared by fascist regimes that we supported, in some cases put into power. In Spain, the same thing. The mothers and grandmothers who had their family members disappeared by Franco.
Yeah, it's funny how women are stepping to the front now.
Yeah.
I'd like to read a stanza from a poem by the sister of a fallen soldier. It's on the Gold Star Families for Peace.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, one stanza. Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave? They say that he died so that this flag will continue to wave. But I believe that he died because they had oil to save. Have you ever heard the sound of taps played at your brother's grave?
Mm. Yeah.
And the poem is A Nation Rocked to Sleep, and it's by Carly Sheehan, Cindy's daughter.
Cindy's daughter, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of working class heroes, I had a list here of people that made a difference. You know, a lot of times a person will say, you know, what difference can one person make?
Mm-hmm.
And they can make a big difference. So I've got a list here. You can call them enemies of the state. And keep in mind what could have happened to these people if we had lost the election last November, if the Republicans had won. Michael Moore, Cindy Sheehan, Medea Benjamin, the Dixie Chicks, the MoveOn.org people, on TV, Amy Goodman, Keith Olbermann, on radio, Randy Rhodes, Tom Hartman, Sam Cedar, Janine Garofalo, who I think should call into your show sometime, and, of course, Mike Malloy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'd love to hear from Janine. I tried to get in touch with her a couple of several months ago, and just I think she just had enough of the whole talk radio crap. You know what I'm saying?
I think she still has some opinions.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, you know, a local talk show host last night, a guy named Bernie Ward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he made a statement that shocked me. I guess it shouldn't have, but he said that if he's ever brought to federal court for any charge, he's screwed because of the political nature of the Justice Department right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true. Hey, listen, got a boogie. Thanks a lot, John. Take care, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Before the hour, thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program and handled your calls in Phoenix at KPHX. Thanks to our senior correspondent, Chris, in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, the moderators at our message board at MikeMolloy.com, and our executive producer, Catherine Bell. NovaMRadio.com is where you can go sign up to become a founding member and also make yourself eligible for that $10,000 drawing. Or send a check to Nova M Radio, 824 Washington, Phoenix, 85034. Don't forget to call Nancy Pelosi and ask her to meet with Tina Richards. And at my website, those numbers are there if you didn't write them down. John in Oakland, the last caller, was talking about how individuals can make a difference, even though all of us don't, very few of us think we can. I have a problem with that, just like you do. But when he was talking, he reminded me of a full-page ad that was in today's New York Times. Did you see it? From the now dead Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, who the Lubavitcher Jews, the very conservative, ultra-Orthodox Lubavitcher Jews, considered to be maybe, possibly, was he or wasn't he the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for all these years. But there's a huge full-page ad, and the headline, "A Single Good Deed Will Change the World Forever. Will It Be Yours?" And, you know, and I saw that headline, you know, being a full-blown atheist as I am, that doesn't mean I don't, you know, read about religion or am not fascinated by it. And it does have, I think all religions, with the exception probably of the comet worshippers, has some sort of moral center. I mean, come on. I just don't believe religion is the only door that's open, that's available. But Rabbi Schneerson, who passed away, today was his birthday, by the way, and I think he died when he was probably in his, what, late 90s? Old man when he died. It says, the Rebbe declared as prophecy that ours is the generation of redemption, the era when the righteous Messiah will be revealed and the world will be perfected for all of humankind. All it takes is for humanity's balance sheet to move from the red to the black. The great teacher, physician, and philosopher Maimonides compared it to a scale. A single positive deed, one seemingly minor act of goodness and kindness, can tip the scale in mankind's favor. And that single act could be anyone's. Indeed, it could be yours. And it goes on. It's a big ad. But And I'm sure other religions can you know, make the same claim. But that ad today just really, really got my attention. And then John in Oakland's phone call, which essentially said about the same thing, that one person can make a difference. But according to Maimonides and the Rebbe, a single act of kindness. Which one? Which act of kindness? There was a time in my life when, and possibly in yours too, when I made a conscious effort to commit acts of kindness. Didn't you at some point? And then you get busy or distracted or refocused or just so pissed off and angry that you lose sight of that part of your humanity, right? Huh? Has that happened to you? Did you come back from it? I struggle to come back from that. I really do. It is so difficult. Even having little kids. I mean, you can make the argument when you're a parent of little kids, 2-year-old, 3-year-olds. You know, you make little acts of kindness every single day, just in being a parent. But the greater act of greater meaning larger, because there's no greater act than doing something kind and sweet, loving to a child, for a child, with a child. But the greater act of some anonymous kindness that Orthodox Judaism pushes very, very strongly to, and I'm not talking about politics here. I'm talking about a very strong tenet of an ancient religion. I guess all of this boils down to Happy Passover. Is that what I'm coming to? When is Passover this year? It may be tomorrow. I don't know. I don't follow the religious holidays except the ones that are I'm forced to follow because of marketing, like, you know, Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. Well, that's not religious, is it? So anyway, if you get a chance, if you subscribe to the New York Times and you didn't see that ad, you might want to check it out. It was just pretty powerful to me. That's all, you know. Kathy's looking at me and scratching her head. I'm not converting to anything. I just thought it was a very strong, strong statement. Humanist point of view can be just as strong. A humanistic point of view of doing an act of human kindness may tip some sort of cosmic scale. You know, who knows what forces exist out there, right? Do we... We don't have time for another call. No, we don't. If we did have time, we would take Carl in Columbus or Fritz in Philadelphia or Prez in San Francisco or Ron in Tustin, California. But, guys, we're just not going to get to you tonight. So thanks a lot for participating in the program tonight and all this week. However you did that, I really do appreciate it. And we'll see you again Monday. Take care. Have a good weekend, all right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are.